Insiders, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Ash, back from the farm in Virginia with my outstanding co-host,
Eb Wilkinson,
as well as our friend and fearless leader of Essential Pest,
Eric Rudin.
And we're coming to you live from the modern KVOI broadcast complex in Tucson, Arizona, welcoming you to an action-packed pre-Thanksgiving show where we'll be breaking down the results and significance of the 2022 midterm elections with former two-term AZGOP chair and RNC treasurer Randy Pullen, as well as newly elected LD-17 state representative Liz Harris, who also joins us later in the show to share her really very unique plans about what she plans to do when she takes her oath in January.
And yep. I'm looking forward to that. Bruce and I want to remind you to please support our great sponsors, Jamie and Craig at Tucson Iron and Metal Retail. Call them Monday at 209-1576 to help you plan for all your holiday projects. Joy and Allie from Corazon Cabinets will help you create the kitchen or bath of your dreams at a price you can afford. Call them Monday at 488-2266. And, of course, our friend Eric Rudin of Essential Pest, who is a master pest varmint and weed eliminator. He's with us today. Call his great crew Monday at 886-3029 to serve your needs.
Also supporting Inside Track is my co-host and broadcast partner, the aforementioned Eb Wilkinson from Wilkinson Wealth Management. Eb is the right man to help you retire comfortably, and you know what? Also remain comfortably retired. Hey, Eb. What's that number for everybody to call you at Monday?
Yeah, that would be 777-1911. I love that sound.
I thought I would kind of change it up just a little
bit. I love that.
Before we get started, a quick but important reminder to our listeners from Onita Davis. She's the Wreaths Across America lady. You can call her at 908-334-8149 to support Wreaths Across America for this Christmas. Time is running short to help her this year. You have to get your money to her by November 28th, but you still have time. The date that the wreaths are going to be laid at the Marana Cemetery and other places is on the 17th. Tom?
Mr. Baker?
Good morning. Once again, the eyes of the world are upon Maricopa County for another botched election. Am I here to accuse you of stealing the vote? Heavens no, for that would make me a terrorist, wouldn't it? Let me ask you, if you took your life savings to a bank and the teller put them in a machine and the machine kicked out one out of four of your bills and the teller said, don't worry, we'll put them in box three over here and we'll let you know how many were in there later. We'll send them off to a separate location and someone will be sure to get back to you and tell you how much money you have. Would you be okay with that? No, you would not be okay with that. Now ask yourself the question, which is more valuable, your vote or your money? Now ask a lobbyist that same question. Now ask a campaign manager that question. Now ask Mark Zuckerberg that question, which is more valuable, your money or your vote or your country or this world or the corruption that is taking over every single county in this nation? And then you look into your own soul and you look back at yourself in the mirror and realize that you are the cancer that is tearing this nation apart. Good day.
Wow.
This gentleman, you might have seen the Twitter feed on him. Kind of looks like an old hippie. Long dreadlocks, a hippie T-shirt, but he represents the anger over two elections in a row with absolute distrust and questioning about the election. I think we have Randy Pullen, who is going to be our first guest. I hope Mr. Pullen is on the line, Tom. We're anyway, I think he was the perfect way, this gentleman was the perfect way to start today's show. We're going to be talking about the concern that a lot of people have about the just completed 2022 elections, and we're going to talk about some of our steps from here. Randy Pullen?
Hello, Randy.
Randy Pullen?
Who knows where he's at?
Tom, do we have Randy on the line?
Tom's working it. So, Bruce...
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about why it was so close in a Republican-leaning county like Maricopa, and it appears as though Kerry lost?
Well, I have my thoughts. I prefer delaying to allow our guest, if he is able to get on. Mr. Pullen, are you there?
I am here. How are you, Mr.
Oh, good.
Ash?
Welcome, Randy. Another weird election, especially in Maricopa County, but elsewhere
I don't
also.
Know if I would call it weird. I would definitely call it strange.
Yeah. You know? you sent me a very detailed written report from Mark Sonnenklar that described breakdowns, foul-ups, and frustrations at polling places in Maricopa County, where over 50% of the polling places, many in Republican population centers. Take a few moments, please, to talk about Mark's report.
Well, it was very detailed, and just to make it clear how it occurred, it just wasn't him doing it.
Right.
The RNC had a team of lawyers here on the ground roving around the different voting centers in Maricopa County to see how they were performing. And so the report he put together basically took all the results of all the roving attorneys found in Maricopa County. And again, like you mentioned, about 50% of the voting centers had problems. I was at one of the voting centers. I got there at 7 in the morning. Tabulators were not working at all. You could not vote. Only way you could vote was to fill it out and drop it in box 3. Okay. And then about 2 hours in, they brought in some new tabulators and installed them and got them up and working. The printers were working. They installed new ink in them. And they started printing ballots so you could fill them out again. And they wouldn't go through the tabulator. And I didn't know why at the time, why they wouldn't go through the tabulator, but they weren't going through the tabulator. They'd run them through multiple times, and they would still get rejected. And finally, your choice was put it in box 3.
I think we just lost Randy.
Put it in box 3, and then the chain of custody was lost. And as our friend who spoke at the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, Randy, do we have you back? As we heard from the gentleman who spoke at the Board of Supervisors, I think we know that there is great concern about where those votes might have gone.
Yes.
But hey, Randy?
Can you get on here?
Yeah, move your location. See if that helps.
Is this better?
For the moment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what something wrong with that.
Yeah, we need to get you close to a window or something, Randy.
Yeah, let me see if I can. Hang on.
We get spoiled with technology all the time.
Yep, we're
right here.
It's better? Yeah.
We can hear you again.
Okay, I went outside.
Okay, good. So back to box 3.
Yeah, so box 3 is where you had to put your ballot in, or you could go to another voting center. And there was issues going to another voting center, and you end up voting a provisional ballot. It was just very, very complicated. Because the tabulators weren't working, there were very long lines of people waiting to get in and vote, hour, 2 hours, not unusual. It's just total frustration, and ultimately what you would call it when people start walking away, leaving, because they're not going to stand in line any longer, it's voter suppression,
right,
is what it really is when you get down to it. Okay, so that's pretty much what was in his report. You know, the follow-up on all of this is, I've been talking to some of the attorneys. There will be lawsuits being filed here as soon as the canvassing is finished, and it's almost finished. I think in total there's about 6,000 ballots across the state to still count, and about 300 of those are up in Apache County. The rest of them are in Maricopa County.
I'm sure there's real good chain of custody up there.
Well, the only thing left to do up in Apache County is just to tabulate them. They're all ready to go. Maricopa County is a little different. They have a couple thousand that are ready to tabulate, and there's about another 35 or 3,600 that still need to have the signatures verified.
So, Randy,
on the early ballot,
it's, you know, there's action that can be taken by these lawsuits, but there was a lawsuit filed, or at least a claim filed the day of the election.
Yes.
By Carrie Lake and other candidates to extend voting hours. Who appointed that judge who denied the request? Because it seems like if that request was made by Democrats in any Democrat-run city, Los Angeles to New York City, anywhere,
they'd be open for 3 weeks.
They'd be open for a long, long time. What happened? We lost Randy again.
Randy, whatever you're doing, don't do that.
Randy? Okay, well, so Randy, we lost you again for a second. Technology, we get spoiled about when we lose it. So who was the judge who denied that request? Was it a Republican or a Democrat-appointed judge? And why does it seem that we don't get any kind of grace when Democrat voters constantly do?
Well, again, that would be the county having to call, ask for an extension, okay? So, again, that has to happen at the county. Now, the lawyers can file that on behalf of the candidates, but it really comes down to, you know, like an emergency or the county ultimately calling for it, okay? Otherwise, it's just going to be turned down, okay? That's pretty much my understanding of how it would work. The other side of this is, as soon as the canvassing is finished, which very likely it'll all be finished on Monday.
2 weeks later.
Then that's when you can file the lawsuits again. And this goes back to revised code 16672, which addresses what you can do when you have an election where someone is claiming that they should have won, but they lost because there was problems in the election. And that's the law that most of them are filing under. And obviously, we're going to have a recount on the AG's race.
Maybe the state superintendent as well.
It's 500. It's possible we might get that one too.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, we're going to get the one for the attorney general. It's going to be a recount.
Right.
But again, you have to file your law. As soon as the canvassing's done, you basically have 5 business days to file lawsuits challenging the election results.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming immediately.
Randy, we have a caller on the line, Len from Chicago. Len, go ahead. You're on with former AZGOP chair and former RNC treasurer Randy Pullen. Your question or comment.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First, I just want to say that I don't want Arizonans to feel that they're in this by themselves. I can tell you there are people from coast to coast, corner to corner of this country that have been watching and praying for a successful outcome for Arizona. And we still are. We still remain hopeful. I do have, and I don't know if it's a comment so much as it is a question. Randy, you had mentioned that on voting day, there was trouble with the tabulators. Understood. I'm not very familiar with the personnel in charge of the election in Arizona, but I do have the question to ask. And I'm going to preface it by saying we've had 2 years to get that equipment in shape, tested, and ready to roll out on election day. And then on the morning of, we have problems. I'm sorry, in the real world, somebody gets fired when they're in charge of things like that, and they fall down on the day and the time that they're needed. Have any doubts? Talk to any person that serves either in the armed forces, the fire department, the police department, the sheriff's department. You depend on your equipment. And if us as voters can take and subscribe to that, why cannot the people in charge of running and conducting the election, why can't they do the same for us? That's what they get paid for. That's what their charge is.
Lynn, thanks for your question. Randy?
Well, can you hear me? I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, we're good.
I
can hear you again. We're good.
Okay, great. Great. I totally agree with him. It's gross negligence, what went on. It's just all the machinery was supposedly tested the night before and was working okay. That's what I was told at our polling location, and it wasn't working the day of the election. All right, and again, that's...
Ironically, it seemed to happen more in Republican areas where the polling locations were situated.
Yeah, well, I've heard that too. Again, that's something that's going to have to be shown in detail. Again, what was going on. So, again, if everything is coming down, it has to be evidence that's going to be submitted to court to get approvals on things. And so it's complicated, but I know they're working on it.
Randy, hang tight for 2 minutes. We need to go to break to pay for the show. Mr. Producer, let's listen to some messages from our supporters. You're listening to Inside Track on KVY, trusted local news and talk. We'll continue our discussion with Randy Pullen in just a jiffy. Don't be a channel flipper. I'm proud to welcome my good friends at Tucson Iron and Metal Retail to Inside Track as an advertiser. Jamie Kipper and her staff are conservation experts. They sell round and square steel tubing, metal plate and roofing materials, as well as new and used steel, aluminum, and stainless steel to ranchers, artists, interior designers, roofers, and do-it-yourselfers, just like all of the listeners here. Tucson Iron and Metal Retail is open Monday through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to noon. Tucson Iron and Steel Retail, 701 East 36th Street. Call 520-209-1576 or go to TucsonIronRetail.com. And when you do call, mention this ad and receive an additional 10% discount on their already great prices.
Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up with science.
You mean you don't use a shoe?
No, we use the latest in technology and innovation to eliminate bugs, termites, weeds, and more.
No spray cans and lighters?
None of that. Only solutions that target insect biology, using chemistry to help protect the environment, people, and their pets.
Huh. Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up. Call 886-3029 or visit EssentialPest.com.
This is Ed Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management reminding you that every good and excellent thing stands moment by moment on the razor's edge of danger and must be fought for, including getting out of debt, building your wealth, and protecting your God-given right. We manage money for gun owners. Let us help you retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me at 777-1911 or WilkinsonWealthMGMT.com.
Welcome back. We're talking with Randy Pullen, and fellas, you have some questions for Randy. Fire away, Eric.
Okay. Well, I have one question. So you're saying people with representation is going to file a lawsuit. What can people expect with a lawsuit? What kind of remedy? I mean, are they going to have a special election at some point?
Yeah, well, first of all, there's going to be multiple lawsuits filed. In other words, it's going to be certain there will be a lawsuit filed on behalf of the Lakes campaign. There'll be a lawsuit filed on behalf of Abe's campaign, Mark Fincham's campaign. I think they'll all be filing separate lawsuits.
Maybe on 309.
Yes, and 309 as well. Yes, that will be filed as well. And they have to be filed separately because each one is a separate election issue. Okay, and that's how they're going to get filed. So that's going to start happening probably within a week. So those will be out there. But again, it goes back to state revised statute 16672. It's not a very long statute. You can look it up. But essentially, there's a few issues. So if you have misconduct of an election, I mean, obviously that would be applying here. For the boards and their canvassing, how they're doing that, that falls into place. You know, erroneous counts where there's sufficient number of votes to change the election. And again, they're collecting, my understanding is they're getting thousands of affidavits filed from voters who were not able to vote because of the problems they ran into.
And explain why why that's such a crucial thing to have in the file when those pleadings are made.
Well, it's evidential. So again, Abe loses by 500 votes. This is an easy example. You have 1,000 affidavits that say, I wasn't able to vote for Abe. That would have changed the election result, right? So, and that's why you have to have the evidence. But here's the other side of it, is my understanding is that if, in fact, that's what happens and they show that there could have been a change in the results of the election, then it's not a matter of flipping it. What happens is all the votes from Maricopa County are not included in the count. So in other words, it's every other county, the other 14 counties, Maricopa's numbers are left out.
Wow.
And so if you look at the rest of the counties, you add all those up, Lake wins, Abe wins.
Wow.
309 easily wins.
So Randy, are you saying that the remediation is to pull Maricopa County?
There will not be, in other words, a lot of people have been saying, oh, well, we need to have a new election. There will not be a new election. It's really about the votes for Maricopa County are either counted or they're not counted in a specific race based on if you have enough evidence to show the results could have been changed.
Yeah.
So that is a possible outcome.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go back to Blake and Kerry and Abe. Is there a possibility that they just underperformed in their elections?
That's a great question.
I'm just asking.
No, that's a great question.
Except for the fact that Katie Hobbs was nowhere to be found and she followed the Biden playbook of stay in your basement.
Apparently it worked. I mean, in other words, let's forget about all the stuff we just talked about. I mean, clearly they had a strategy which seemed to appear to have worked. When you start looking, and this is important, and it really matters, because when you start looking by how much they lost by, and then you kind of go down the ballot, and you get down to Kimberly Yee, who ran for treasurer, mm-hmm. was not a Trumper, was not an election denier, any of that kind of stuff. She just ran on the issues, and she did really well. She got 1,386,000 votes. If Lake had gotten 1,386,000 votes,
yep,
instead of what she got, she would have won by over 100,000 votes in the general election. Same thing with Masters. If he had gotten her count, he would have won by 68,000 votes. Fincham would have won by about 69,000 votes. Okay, so again, we had this issue with the Trump-endorsed election deniers. They underperform the other Republican candidates. Okay, and that's down ballot. And down ballot, usually what you expect to see down ballot, just from my experience, is as you go down the ballot, you see fewer votes being cast because they're just voting on the major races. But it's just a reverse this time.
So how much negative impact do you think there is realistically from former President Trump, who endorsed some of the unsuccessful candidates in primaries but didn't carry over into the general election? Or is it maybe not his fault and lay the blame of this at the feet of the AZGOP or the Maricopa County Republican Party? And frankly, our activists as well.
Well, again, and this is, And so you have to ask yourself, if they voted for Kimberly Yee, but they didn't vote for Masters or for Lake, then it's, you know, what's the reason? I mean, they left it blank, and they just went down and they voted down ballot. Okay, that's someone who's an upset Republican. So, again, the job of state parties is not to endorse candidates in primaries like we did this past year.
Yeah, that's a big lesson here, isn't it?
Yes, you do not do that, because that upsets other voters who, if they do not, and I will tell you, I had friends come up to me after the primary who were frustrated with what went on, and they told me they wouldn't vote for Kerry, okay, because of what went on. And so apparently that was a pretty big issue. The other issue in Arizona, I think, which really, really mattered, and I didn't see the significance of it at the time, but now we're seeing that it was important, was the abortion issue. Okay, because when I was at my polling location, I had a couple different ladies come up to me and ask me about our candidates and what their position was on abortion, because that was their concern. Okay, so again, we go
meaning
back
they
to
were
our,
pro-abortion and, or pro-life?
Pro-abortion. They thought that it's, you know, it should be left up to the mother, because again, you have to go back and look at the old antiquated law that was in place. And basically, you know, mothers have no choices in the matter. Okay. Now, the law that was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor earlier this year, which was this, you know, the 15-week limit, that would have been great. But the problem was, it was a referendum prior, and referendums take precedent over laws passed in the legislature. It's a constitutional issue.
And let me just say that again, because this is a very important point. The territorial constitutional amendment that's there, that basically forbids abortion of any kind, is still in place today. The 15-week rule that was passed by the legislature isn't effective in view of Dobbs and Roe decisions. That constitutional amendment would have to be amended again, correct, in order for there
correct.
To be any kind
correct.
Of a change?
Correct. There would have to be a public vote on it, and that's what we're going to have to be facing in the future.
Yep. And it's possible there'd be competing propositions on that particular point in 2024, wouldn't you think?
Yes.
So let me ask you a question. You've got Florida, who can get this thing figured out with, you know, substantially...
You mean the vote.
The vote. Substantially greater population than what we have.
About five times more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the hanging chads mm-hmm. are all gone. What can be done to put that same thing in play here in Arizona?
Well, again, it's a bureaucracy thing, because in Florida, all of the county recorders are not elected. So the governor could go in and change them all out, which is what he did. And so he started the process of cleaning up the elections after 2018. Arizona has different laws. Okay. Again, we had the audit going back to 2020. When it got started, you know, actually in 21, but we were talking about in 2020 after the election, we did the audit, but again, it was outside, in other words, it wasn't a real audit. I'm a CPA, former partner with a large accounting firm. When you do an audit, if you cannot get who you're auditing to cooperate when you're doing the audit, you can't do an audit. You resign and you leave. And that I made that very clear up front, that if the county was not going to cooperate with us when we're conducting the audit, it was going to cause all kinds of problems, and we might never be able to get to a final result.
Okay. Randy, shifting back to a point you made earlier, you stated that maybe at some point Maricopa could be excluded from the count. Just to maybe give audience members hope, that sort of thing, if that was a plausible scenario, is there a time frame that of litigation window that people have? And when would be an expectation something like that could actually come about?
Well, you would hope that it would go very quickly, because, again, they have got, when they submit their complaint, they have to have all the evidence with it, and that's what they're pulling together right now. So so if they submit it, it has solid evidence, then the judge is going to call for a hearing. If they read through it and they don't think there's enough evidence there to matter, then they, you know, they'll just throw it out. And so once, if they say, okay, there's enough problem here to maybe change the election result, then at that point, it'll be a legal hearing. Hopefully it'll go fast. You know, obviously you don't want to get drawn out, but again, let's say this, so it'll be in Superior Court. So let's say the judge rules in favor of that the election should be thrown out. Okay, well, then it's going to be appealed, and ultimately it's going to be in the Supreme Court. So this isn't going to happen overnight. It's right. going to take weeks, if not a few months, to get it resolved. But again, it's so then that raises other issues, which I can't really address because I'm not an attorney. But if you can't certify the election, then what happens then? You know, so it's all kinds of complications that come out of that.
Let me change the direction here just a little bit. We have party leadership elections coming up soon for AZGOP and for the RNC.
Well, not only that, but we have elections coming up for the county.
Yeah, in every every county and every LD. Sure,
LD. Yep, it's all coming up.
So, is everybody going to get thrown out? I'm not endorsing that. I'm just asking the question. I mean, because there's a lot of...
I don't know what you mean by thrown out. What does that mean?
Not reelected.
I don't think Kelly Ward will be running for reelection. I think she's finished. That's my understanding. She's not running. There are a lot of...
She's been MIA.
Candidates.
She's been MIA since the election as well.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? I mean, she was out there every day. Several times a day.
She was unavoidable for comment.
Now you can't find her.
Right.
Yeah, she's finished. No doubt about that. So there's a lot of potential candidates at the state level. I imagine, from what I know, there's Maricopa County. There's several that want to run for Maricopa County as well. So it's going to be a very interesting election cycle. And that'll happen obviously that happens in January. The other interesting cycle we're up against is what's going to happen at the RNC. Okay, like Ronna, and I give Ronna some credit. I mean, she basically put together a lawyer team that was here in Arizona. Okay, but there's a lot of pressure on her as well.
She lost midterm. She lost a presidential, this midterm was...
And another midterm. She's lost three elections in a row.
So President Trump has announced his plans to run for president in 2024, and 2 days later, the U.S. Attorney General announces special counsel appointment to consider charging him for crimes. Any speculation on the coincidence right after he announced? And would there be anybody with more motive to jail Donald Trump than Merrick Garland and Joe Biden?
Well, even if nothing comes of that in terms of real charges, let's just face it, this is going to drag on for months and months and months and months. So it's going to be a continuous discussion going on at CNN, MSNBC, you know, even some on Fox and Amazon Newsmax as stuff comes up. So, again, it's just how long did the other one go on? They did.
2 years.
I mean,
it never stopped.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we're facing again is it's just a political backlash.
Em has a question for you before we close.
One of the things that I saw on the internet was these cars pulling up to voting boxes, dumping in bunches and bunches of ballots. What can be done about that, number one? Number two, and you know, the same thing with the students at ASU, long lines of them that are suspected of being from out of state and voting. You know, this had to have made a difference in this election, number one. And number two, how do we resolve that besides getting rid of the voting boxes?
Well, it's two separate issues. One, there's really, as far as I know, there's no way to resolve that for this past election. I mean, someone drives up and drops off 50 ballots. you know, there's nothing you can really do about that.
Take away the boxes.
But that's for the next election.
That's what I was getting to. That's what I was getting to is that it's all about fixing it for the next election. Now, I will tell you where I dropped my ballot off at the city council at Scottsdale. There was a guard right there by the box watching. So if you walked up and had more than two ballots, you were going to have an issue.
Interesting.
Okay. So again, the only way to do that is there has to be someone there 24/7 at that ballot, or if they can shut it down so it's only available part of the day, then there has to be a security guard there with it to watch what happened.
And then the question
goes back.
The question, though, just real quick on the perhaps ineligible voters at ASU who reside here to go to school but aren't residents exactly. Who voted in the election?
You know, they could be voting a federal ballot. You don't know. I don't know. If you can vote a federal ballot,
that's true.
Which means all it's going to be on that race is whoever you're.
Right. Good point.
Yeah. So that could be just what they're doing. So we don't know. Again, it's just too confusing. We shouldn't have two ballots here. It should. I mean, this goes back years and years ago when I was chairman that we were having discussion with the feds that it's crazy to have a federal ballot and a state ballot.
Randy, there's more stuff that we have to talk about. We're not going to get it all done today. I hope you can come back because we're going to be talking about investigations at the U.S. House level and lots of other stuff going on. But thanks for spending time with us today. We'll chat again soon. Mr. Producer, let's go ahead and take our next break for some messages from our great supporters. You're listening to Inside Track on KVOI, Trusted News and Talk. When we return, we'll hear from Arizona State Representative-elect Liz Harris. So stay tuned. Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. What other kind of customers do you have?
So our biggest customers are actually like ranchers and people from outside of the Tucson area. They're buying a lot of square tubing. They're buying a lot of stuff for their ranch to close off fences.
We'll sell anything from 10 feet to 10,000 feet to somebody that comes in because we have new steel and surplus steel from steel mills. The reason we're able to get such good pricing on some of this stuff is, A, we sell scrap to the mill. So we have a relationship there, and then we can buy material, what they're making, bringing it back. And so we save on freight, and we have relationships for years with them. So I think that's really our niche market. We'll sell whatever you need.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up with science.
You mean you don't use a shoe?
No, we use the latest in technology and innovation to eliminate bugs, termites, weeds, and more.
No spray cans and lighters?
None of that. Only solutions that target insect biology, using chemistry to help protect the environment, people, and their pets.
Huh. Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up. Call 886-3029 or visit essentialpest.com.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management. Are you letting rising inflation interfere with your ammo budget? Don't do that. Let us show you how to buy the same goods and services 20 years from now as you can today. We manage money for gun owners, and we can guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911 or wilkinsonwealthmgmt.com.
Welcome back to Inside Track. Bruce is here. Eb's here. Eric Rudin's here. We have our next guest waiting online, Liz Harris. I want to read something that she did a press release on just the other day. This is really a pretty gutsy thing for anybody to do. Although I stand to win my legislative district race, it has become obvious that we need to hold a new election immediately. There are clear signs of foul play from machine malfunctions, chain of custody issues, and just blatant mathematical impossibilities. How can a Republican state treasurer receive more votes than a Republican gubernatorial or Senate candidate? I call on all state legislators to join me in demanding a new election. I will be withholding my vote on any bill in this session without this election in protest to what is clearly a potential fraudulent election. Liz, congratulations on your election. That's a pretty gutsy move to make. Talk about that.
Thank you very much. Well, what I'm doing is I'm standing up for some rightful winners who we will not know who the rightful winners are without a new election. Now, we know here in Maricopa County on November 8th, we had massive issues. We had people turning away from the polls, people filling out 3 and 4 ballots because they couldn't get the tabulator to accept it. They were getting writer's cramp. We had people who had to go back to work. They had to go back to their children. It is a fiasco. It was a fiasco. And right now, voters are very disenfranchised. So we knew there were potential issues in 2020. And now here in 2022, we're seeing more issues because people are waking up as to what they need to look for. And right now we have a gubernatorial candidate who was, you know, she was garnering crowds of thousands of people at some of her events. And we're hearing that someone who never,
hid in the basement.
The basement analogy, but we never saw her. And I mean, something is not right. And it's not just the governor race, though. The projections for the Arizona House and the Arizona Senate were to be majorities of 3 to 5 in each. So right now in Arizona, we have a one Republican majority in both the House and the Senate. And with Katie Hobbs as a governor and with my passion of making sure we get good election integrity bills in place, my hands are tied. I'm not going to be able to do anything unless we can assure the residents of Arizona that we have elections that they can be certain of, that they will not question. And there's unfortunately one way to do it, and the people who are currently in office, they don't want to hear it. I've heard people who are in office right now say, if we do anything to modify the mail-in ballot, I won't get voted in. If people like you and are passionate enough about you as a legislator, as a politician, as an elected official, they will go out and vote for you. So you don't have to worry about that. We need in-person voting on Election Day and reserve the mail-in ballot, really the absentee ballot, for people who genuinely can't get there. That is going to solve a lot of our issues.
Yeah, and that's how it used to be. This is Eb. We had Randy Pullen on right before you, and one of the things that he suggested is with the lawsuits going on, we could get the Maricopa County vote thrown out.
By law, what would happen.
Thrown out.
And in that case, Carrie Lake wins, Blake Masters wins,
Abe Hamadeh wins.
I mean, it's pretty much a clean sweep.
School board officials might,
as well as in the legislature. That's a huge change, and that's state law.
Your thoughts?
So, in other words, in my race, I ran with Julie Willoughby, fellow Republican. There were 2 seats, so Julie Willoughby would be assigned that seat.
This would affect the elections that are in question. Because there's affidavits, there's thousands of affidavits that are going to go in with the lawsuits. And of course, this all needs to get litigated. But the Arizona revised statute, though, is clear that it is possible in such a circumstance where there was incompetence or mishandling of an election, if a judge ruled, the judge could rule to not count ballots in Maricopa County in these statewide elections.
Okay, so I get the drift, but here's my only concern about what you're stating, is that I've been researching this, studying this for 2 years. There are people that where it's not even close. So in other words, the preset algorithms have people winning by leaps and bounds, and nobody questions it. Well, it wasn't close enough. Like we're always looking at, let's let's look at the ones that are, you know, razor margin, narrow, thin. That's a falsity. I'm letting you know.
No, I hear you.
We're sympathetic,
believe me.
Right. I just don't look at Arizona. I talk to people from all 50 states. This is a problem countrywide. I'm not sure if you saw Harris County. They are now playing videos with their poll marshals, and basically they were literally watching at the end of the night, and they have it on video, where the poll was closed, everyone's gone home, and the number of votes just starts increasing on their terminals. And they're like, what's happening? I mean, did you guys see that video yet?
Yeah, amazing.
I haven't. And for anybody listening, Harris County is Houston, Texas.
Right. Yep. It's amazing at how all of this is coming out and how so many elected officials are refusing to look at it. And I just want to give a big shout out. I don't know if you've discussed it already. Cochise Board of Supervisors, yep. 2 out of 3 of you voted to delay the certification. Cheers for you. We need more people to stand up. And that is what my press release is about. I need the legislators that I'm going to be working with for the next 2 years to stand up, with me on this. Do not turn a blind eye. What is more important, your seat and your political country or the state of Arizona and your constituents?
Liz, to pound on that point a little bit, do you have some fellow legislators that are going to stand up with you that are going to kind of join your call for some type of reform?
Yes, but at this point, I can count them on less than one hand. There are 47 Republicans between the House and the Senate. I need all 47. I need 46 plus myself.
Okay.
It can't be a minority. It's got to be a majority.
And you've received some threats from leadership as well, haven't you, for the statements that you've made? Am I recalling correctly?
You're recalling correctly, but I don't want. I know I'm on airway.
Okay. All right. Well,
let's talk about this.
I want to give them the benefit of the doubt to come and join this movement.
Well, this is Eb. Let's talk about this. You've also received a nasty gram from the DOJ, didn't you?
Yeah, that's like a year and a half ago.
And what did they say?
It
was about canvassing, so it was not addressed to me. But they feared that canvassing would violate the KKK Act and some civil rights acts, as though we were like targeting minorities. We knocked on everyone's door. We didn't know what race, nationality, creed anybody was. So that whole thing is bogus. But they were stating, and this was the DOJ's office, correct? They were stating that by asking people, what method did you use to vote and how many extra ballots did you get, that was voter intimidation. Actually, 9 out of 10 people in 2020, 2021 thanked us for coming to their door and asking. And we found mass anomalies. And, you know, NBC just came out with an article about an hour ago. The headline of the article is not winning candidate, you know, says, hey, let's do a reelection. No, instead it's, you know, this Republican candidate's refusing to do her job. And then they went on to basically blast all the canvassing work we did. They just keep saying it's unbiased. You know, I cannot wait one day when we are vindicated to file a lawsuit against every single one of them, because the way they are taking truthful evidence and just dismissing it, it's disgraceful.
You know, Liz, I heard the news flash on the Cochise County election counting earlier this morning, and the way that the news flash was read was that the election deniers on the Cochise County Board of Supervisors are looking at a lawsuit having been filed. They immediately, they don't report news. They give their opinion as they are announcing that particular stuff going on in Cochise County. It's just, it's amazing the way that they're trying to push a narrative, isn't it? And you're seeing that yourself.
I'm seeing it myself, and They started when I initially, before I did an official canvas in December of 2020, when I had the people who actually canvassed get up to the microphone and basically state what they were finding at the doors, if there was even a door there. I mean, we found all sorts of things. So it wasn't about me. It was about the canvassers reporting to the public, to the mass, hey, I went to this address and it's in the middle of a school playground. How is a vote being cast from there? Or, you know, how are votes being cast from churches, but not just churches, but churches chicken? I mean, I can go on and on about all the craziness. The voter rolls are a mess. There were votes coming from all different places that votes shouldn't have come from. And we kept getting excuses. Oh, well, the reason they're voting from the courthouse is because they have a protected address. No, because if they had a protected address, we wouldn't even be able to see the address of the courthouse. And then when we see people having their ballots sent to commercial boxes, well, they have an actual home address as a secondary address. But when you go and you look at that secondary address, it's another commercial business. So they're lying to us. And then they turn around, and I don't want to use names, but I can't tell you how many times they've turned around and said, Liz Harris is lying. Liz Harris doesn't know what she's talking about. Well, you know what? I'm going to challenge each and every one of them to an IQ test because I wasn't born yesterday. I know I'm pretty bright. I know how to connect the dots. And I'm not going to be quiet about what I'm seeing, what I'm finding, because Arizona, we need to get rid of corruption, period.
Liz, we've got a minute and 45 seconds left.
So I have a quick concluding question for you, Liz. Assuming that you're able to serve and you do end up voting on issues in the legislature, what are the three top things that this legislature must do to correct the problems that we have on voting integrity? Three things.
Three things, very easy. We have to limit the mail-in ballot to people who really need it. They need to have a reason.
That's
we
number
need
one.
To have vote. Number two is voting at the precinct level, and the precinct levels cannot be more than 1,000 registered voters. You're going to walk in there, you're going to know who everyone is, and you're going to have short lines and easy hand counts. And number three, we need to have, obviously, continue with strong voter ID, make sure everyone is who they say they are.
Liz Harris, LD17, House Member-Elect, that's going to do it for us today. Liz, thank you very much. I got to hand it to you, lady. You got guts. And let's keep in touch. I know you were on Kathleen Wynne's show earlier this week. Keep in contact with us. We got no news here in Tucson and in Southern Arizona because of the newspaper we have here, or what the Red Star, you know, what people think is a newspaper. But your cause is just, and your courage is to be admired. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right.
We look forward to having you on again.
All right. So that's going to do it for us today. I want to thank Eric Rudin for joining us today. Eb, good to be back with you.
Bruce, good to see you.
Yeah. Next week, we have a wonderful best of show for you because of the Thanksgiving gift. And I promise we'll pick a winner for you. Our show is podcast on the KVOI website. All of our Inside Track episodes are also available at Apple Podcasts. I want to mention something real quick, though. Herman Channon died just today. His death was announced. This is a man who is a big, big developer and builder in Phoenix. Until next week for Inside Track, this is Bruce Ash.
Eb Wilkinson.
Eric Rudin.
Wishing you all a very pleasant good afternoon. I'll be on Tucson, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning with Chris. Eb and I will be back with you in 334 hours. You are now released to tune in to the rest of the Arizona versus Washington State football game. Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
A lot of the cities and the counties around have initiatives for artists. I think we're one of the premier artist suppliers for steel. First Saturday of every month, you can come down early and actually go through the scrap yard across the street. It's 7 acres of metal. You can walk through with our people and pick out what you want. It's always interesting to see what the artists have done. We've done actually a couple projects with the U of A engineering department and music department. where the engineering music students came down together. They had to pick something out of the scrap, and they had to build an instrument. And we have one of those in front of the plant. Some really cool things come out of the scrap.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.